This is Alicia Crowe, and this is the Primal Alternative Podcast.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
You're listening to the Primal Alternative Podcast, inspiration for your evolution. Welcome to the Primal Alternative Podcast, episode 110. I'm Helen Marshall. You can call me H, and I am your host. And today I'm super excited to invite along Alicia Crowe, who has such a gorgeous Instagram page called Breathe, Believe, Nourish, Grow, which reflects her journey for the transition she's made from healing and reversing Hashimoto's disease. So Hashimoto's disease used to be so rare, but now the number of cases have exploded. And she's going to share with us how she, what her journey from diagnosis to where she is now, and how she's reversed Hashimoto's with real food and lifestyle changes. So a super inspiring podcast. Alicia is so wonderful. She's a true beacon of strength and positivity. She is so inspired to help others on their path to wellness. Alicia and I met on Instagram because she's a big fan of the Primal Alternative product range, her favorites being the fruit toast and the choc chip cookies. And we all know, if you've been on any kind of healing journey or elimination program, how desperate you get for a slice of toast, right? Yes, and that's where Primal Alternative comes in, with the amazing grain-free food range, which Alicia loved and very generously shared, you know, different meals she was having with the Primal Alternative products. So thanks for doing that, Alicia. On ya. And now Alicia is qualified as a nutrition consultant with the Nutrition Academy, which is headed by the wonderful Cindy O'Meara, a good friend of mine, and is now wanting to help others on their healing journey too. So buckle up, grab a cuppa, and let's have a chat to Alicia. First of all, of course, finding out what she had for breakfast. Alicia, so cool for you to join us today. Let's start with what you had for breakfast.
Oh, I love this one. I love food. For breakfast this morning, I had some ghee with two eggs, just veggies that were left over in the crisper at the end of the week, a little bit of kimchi, and half an avocado, and a beautiful lemongrass and ginger tea was my breakfast this morning.
Sounds like a very yummy start to the day indeed. So I am really stoked that you've joined us on the show today, because I'd love for you to share your journey with Hashimoto's disease, from finding out that you had it to where you are now.
Absolutely. It's certainly been a journey, and thank you for having me along. It's, yeah, just to stop and actually think how far I've come from the beginning being diagnosed until now. It really, so much has happened in that time, and at the time of being diagnosed, it sort of just felt like that's where you were, and to sort of get an idea of getting past that and beyond that was very hard to see. So it's actually lovely looking back and seeing how far I have come. So it takes me back to the 3rd of August in 2021 was when I was actually diagnosed. But prior to that, back in 2020, I had been experiencing a lot of just feeling a lot different, like really fatigued, shortness of breath, moodiness, feeling down, just symptoms that weren't sort of normal to me, nothing I'd experienced before. And the most thing was just a lot of achy joints. So that sort of set me on a path to, I'd felt it for a while and thought, it's not something that is going away, and it's not something that I really want to continue living with day to day. So headed off to the doctors to sort of find out what was going on, which set off a bit of a chain reaction of blood tests and CT scans and ultrasounds and a lot of things like that. And then a lot of time with Hashimoto's, it was a bit of a waiting game. It needed to be a period of time to actually confirm that that was what I did have, even though blood tests showing the thyroid levels were out. it was being told we need to wait for a certain amount of time just to keep rechecking those blood levels and seeing how they're moving or not moving or changing. So at the very beginning, it was, yeah, just really low, not feeling myself and wanting to get an answer for it. To then I guess the transition, the middle bit, was lots of appointments. It turned out to be 3 monthly blood test appointments just to monitor how things were going. It was adapting to a whole new routine and diet as well. I went down many a rabbit hole reading and wanting to know more and researching things, what was going on. Successful, many not. I can remember I used to nail pancakes. And this one time making pancakes was just a complete flop. But I'd put it in a Nutribullet. I'd seen somewhere that was the best way to make this particular one that I could have. And I could not for the life of me get the top of the Nutribullet, like the lid, the top of it off after blitzing it before I could pour it in the pan. And I just remember, it got to me for something that normally didn't. It really, I guess it was just that, you know, realization that this is how things need to be, things need to change. So, yeah, many successful, many, many not. It did provide me with the opportunity to tap back into my love of food and healthy lifestyles, which opened up studying functional nutrition at the Nutrition Academy and graduating as a nutrition consultant. And it did change my view also around exercise and moving my body and finding more ways that honoured and supported my body, perhaps a lot different to how I had been doing before. So it certainly, yeah, began very hard at the beginning, really opened up just a whole can of worms in the middle of it to where I am today. My levels are where they need to be. I've got a doctor and a naturopath that are absolutely blown away by the results. Blood tests have gone from 3 monthly to annually, which is really lovely. And just really being so in tune with my body and just that, you know, the innate intelligence we all have. Our body sends those messages, and perhaps prior to then I wasn't really stopping and listening, pushing through it, which I know a lot of us are guilty of doing, and I still do from time to time. But just that awareness now of being a little bit more gentle and patient and slow down when my body gives me those little signs that, hang on, you're overdoing it here, you need to, you know, press pause for a minute. So it's been a journey. It's been a real journey. But yeah, to start where I was to where I am now is pretty proud of how far I've come.
Amazing. Such a good story, and really inspiring for people who are listening who've got some of those symptoms as well, to maybe, you know, do a bit of research like you did and find out what's really going on. So let's talk about AIP, or the autoimmune protocol. Some people, listeners, might have heard of it. It's something that has played a role in your journey to get to where you are now and reverse Hashimoto's, which is amazing, right? Absolutely. What you've done, like your doctor, your nutritionist, blown away. So what advice do you have for other people who are thinking, oh, AIP sounds a bit hard, but I might give it a go?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was definitely the first role in my journey to reversing Hashimoto's. I remember being told when I had Hashimoto's, my naturopath said at that very appointment that this is the plan. We go on this autoimmune protocol diet. That it was an afternoon, I can clearly remember, before school pickup, and we had a family dinner at a restaurant that night, a birthday dinner, and I applied at that very next meal. So dinner time, I walked in there and I'm like, right, okay, I can have steak, veggies, you know, not this, not that. And my husband, just when we got home from it, he's like, are you crazy? Like, that was your opportunity to absolutely eat everything you could for the very last time. Whereas I had more of an opposite approach. I saw it, the sooner I began, the sooner I could feel things would start to change. So for me personally, the one that I got put on had sort of three phases. So the transition phase, which, like I said, for me was crazy. I did it pretty quickly. The elimination side of it, I had to avoid grains, beans, eggs and nightshades, seeds and nuts, dairy and alcohol. So it was pretty overwhelming. I ate good anyway, that it was very restrictive, and that is the whole point of it, I guess, to get inflammation, which in turn is meant to reduce the symptoms. And then after that, then you have that reintroduction phase where you have a chance to reintroduce certain foods and see whether or not those symptoms return or whether they don't. So, yeah, the food changes were big ones as well as lifestyle ones. So just focusing on, I'm a bit of an overthinker, worry, stress. I know I fall in that category. That's not a thyroid's best friend. So just adapting to lifestyle changes as well as food changes within that time as well, and just a chance for the body to really slow down, quieten down. And it really gave me that first opportunity to tune in and listen and notice what was really going on, whether those symptoms were becoming a lot more or they were sort of residing, and just see how my body was reacting to it. So for me, if someone is considering it, I would absolutely say it is definitely worth doing. It worked for me. I was on it for 11 weeks, so it did feel like a long time. But I guess things like that, you need a long time to see whether things are changing or not changing and get a guide of what's going on. So I found diarising things was amazing. I would sort of write down what I was eating, how I was feeling with my mood, any movement, any changes. I had supplements at the time, so I'd take note of those. And it's actually, when you've invited me on the podcast, I pulled that diary back out and had a look at it all, and it's actually amazing to look back on just that little 11-week journey and how things happen. So one thing I would say, it did definitely kickstart my healing journey. That was a very start for me, but it certainly opened up Pandora's emotional box for me. So that would be something I would say to people, to be certainly prepared and mindful of that, and to have someone that's in your corner you can have a chat to and really has the knowledge and understanding about it and can be there to support you. It can be a tricky period being on it. It certainly was for me. I thought I was fine, and by day two, if there's such a thing as little adult tantrums over recipes not working and the tears, and it really hit home, trying to get my head around not only the diagnosis, but I guess that I was on a strict diet, food I had loved and really loved had gone. Eating wasn't the same, you know, your fridge, pantry, freezer, everything like that changed, meals changed. It did feel a little bit limiting when we ate out, not that we did that often. And as silly as it sounds, food and people, there's such a social connection there. So for me, it was like, well, how am I going to go about the socializing side of things with people? So I definitely recommend it, but would just suggest to have someone in your corner, have a beautiful team of people around you that can support you. It's not forever. It is a short period of time that you are doing it, and just be prepared. It is a big change and overwhelming, can feel a little bit isolating. But he's so worth it, and you're so worth it to take those first steps in healing your body.
So true. And 11 weeks in 4, 5, 6, 7 decades, it's, you know, you can put it in perspective, right?
So absolutely.
Finding a team, like a holistic team, to support your goal of achieving reversal of your Hashimoto's through real food and lifestyle changes, you said, is really important. So I'd like to find out and go back a little bit, like, what were you eating before? Like, you know, that, and what did you really miss the most of on that journey? And tell us about how you built that support network so you didn't have to do it on your own.
Yeah, that support network, it was really, really important to me, just not feeling alone. It felt alone enough as it was with the diagnosis. So having people on the same page as me, just to go, okay, this is how we're going to approach it. We've got your back. And just a bit of high-fiving and cheering along the way that, you know, you're doing a great job, because sometimes it feels like you're not. It just feels like you're trudging through mud and not getting very far. It's not until you get further down you look back and realize that. So to have people there in that particular moment, just, I guess, holding your hand and reminding you that, you know, you've got this, you can do it, and you are coming a long way, And I guess it was huge to me because the initial doctor that I'd seen, we were clearly on a different page. They sort of jumped initially to the medication approach, which for some, that is the path and how they want to do things. For me, without even thinking about it, I was just more, can I change this through nutrition and lifestyle? Is that an option? And wanted someone or more than one person to speak to say, no, it's not, or yes, it is. And if it is, this is how we go about it. So it became a very important mission for me to find a beautiful holistic doctor that understood that. And a naturopath was another one that I wanted as well, that would be on the same page, and for both to have that knowledge and understanding of Hashimoto's and the approach that I wanted to go on and support me with that. But I guess also have realistic time frames. So, okay, Alicia, we'll be doing, you know, the bloods within the 3 months, not the 6 months, or we will change by, you know, over 12 months. If it's not, we need to reassess. So still keeping me in check with it, with everything, but really excited to go on that path of approaching it through, you know, health and nutrition. So I did. I found my beautiful naturopath and doctor who became such a huge part of my cheer squad and still are today. They're amazing men. I'll forever be grateful for them. But they did. They understood my goal, made it feel achievable, and like I said, kept things realistic. And it's a real ride. So to have those people there to ride the highs and the lows with you and there to answer questions and celebrate you. So it's having that professional team, but for me it was also friends and family. My husband and two kids were an incredible support during it. Having to alter how I ate soon became straight away a family discussion that we will change where we can as a family to implement things. It's certainly they don't eat exactly the way that I eat, but family meals, I didn't want becoming I ate something and they ate something differently. And it's been pretty special that we just sit down and eat a family meal as we do, as all of us. It's the same food. The kids and my husband are both noticing how amazing they're feeling. It's pretty how food makes them feel now. And we'll go to the supermarket and they'll, you know, pick up a box and, Mum, this has got this in it. Or they're aware that whatever ingredient is first is the most of what is in that box, packet, whatever it is. So they're becoming at such a young age so in tune with their own bodies, and I think that's just an incredible tool to have at such a young age. So yeah, having a support network around you is absolutely everything for anything in life, but especially such a huge change in your life, to have that at home, and then when you go out and about with people supporting you and being there is huge, and I think it's absolutely needed, and that's how you do stay on track and get the results that you do, because there will be days you can feel like you're unstoppable and you can do it all, and other days where you do need to fall back on other people to pick you up and give you that high five and away you go again.
Are you ready to break free from the traditional 9-to-5 and pursue your passion for health and wellness? The Primalista license is your path to home-based wellness entrepreneurship. Picture this: crafting delicious grain-free breads, pizzas, cookies, and more, all while promoting a healthier lifestyle in your community. As a Primalista, you'll have the freedom to set your own schedule, work from home, and be your own boss. Don't miss this chance to embark on a journey of fulfillment and nourishment. Head over to primalalternative.com/license to learn more about the Primalista license. Step into a world of possibilities and become a Primalista today. Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I often hear, like in my health coaching, that people are like, oh, well, I couldn't eat like that because my husband wouldn't eat like that, or the kids wouldn't. And I always just say, don't worry about changing the whole family. Just focus on you, because, you know, it just kind of naturally trickles down into the rest of the family and everybody benefits from it. And, you know, when you're eating meat and veg, it's really easy to put something on the plate that everyone's going to like. And then sometimes I'll just do some rice for the rest of the family. I don't really eat rice very often. Sometimes I will if I feel like it.
Yep.
But when I was really focusing on gut health, I wasn't having the starches. But it's easy just to put an extra carbohydrate or something on that sort of stops it out a bit for the rest of the family. And you've got
exactly.
Your veggie. It's not hard. It's not hard to do.
It's not hard. And we're the same. We have the main food, and then there might be that little bit where we substitute that they can have, but I can't have. So we're exactly the same. And you can sneak in some really amazing things in a good old bolognese or taco seasoning, or get a really great hit of goodness for everybody that the kids don't even realize sometimes, I think, half the stuff that's in there.
The things I've just smuggled in is like offal and stock and lots of really like and just different meats, like kangaroo meat and,
yes,
you know.
Oh, wow.
And they love it. We actually love kangaroo meat. It's so good.
It's meant to be amazing.
So good. So you have a wonderful Instagram page that I am in love with. It's called Breathe, Believe, Nourish, Grow, and it reflects your motto for your journey. So how has sharing your journey on social media helped you and other people in similar situations?
In all honesty, I said it about creating the page just as a way of sharing what I loved, what I liked. I'm a big quote lover, absolutely love quotes. So I found that was a place I could share those. It separated my personal to what was my passion, what I loved, what I was living, what I was doing, new recipes. It gave me a place to share those. But I underestimated the other ways that it would actually, sharing my journey on there, what it would do. It actually allowed, I found, me to be me on there, which is really crazy, but it's allowed me to be a lot more open and honest and vulnerable just with what I'm going through, what I'm thinking. And I think that's a pretty powerful thing, and sometimes can be just a lot more relatable for people if you can be that. It allowed me to, I think, just sharing things on there, just accepting more the ebbs and flows of life, and just, you know, sometimes there can be this crazy thing spanner thrown in the works, but at the end of the day, you get through it and you get out the other side and it's normal. And sometimes sharing that on there, it might not be the same thing somebody else is, but they can relate to it in their own way in life and think, oh, I'm not alone. Like, that's something that I'm going through as well. So it allowed me to also, creating that page on there and sharing my journey, connect with some pretty people, like-minded souls. And crazily enough, it actually reconnected me with some old friends, or friends I was friends with that I didn't even know that they were going through similar experiences, or what I was going through could help them in any way. And even just similar interests. It's, you can know somebody, but then to sort of open up in that way, it's like, oh, wow, like, we both like that, or we both enjoy doing that. So, and it did. It's also opened up new conversations with family and friends, just with things I share on there, just sort of tapping into different topics and conversations that perhaps you wouldn't have had otherwise in a family or friend conversation, whereas sharing something on that page can come up in another conversation from now to then. And I found it really, really therapeutic. It was just a place that I could just get things out, share what I was interested in, like I said, what was going on. So for me, it allowed that for me. For others, I was hoping that it was just a place for them to come to get information that hopefully made things a little bit easier, to a place I was hoping that inspired them, but that they could feel like really connected and seen and understood with what they were going through. And if they needed to reach out, which has actually really happened and blown me away, there's been many a private message or phone call or conversation that's come with something that I've shared that has blown me away how much that's resonated with somebody else, or it's just been that little thing that's needed to open up that can for them to reach out and ask for help for something. So initially it was to motivate and inspire others, but it's what it's brought has just been so much more than I could have possibly imagined. So for me, I've got a lot out of it, and it's starting to feel like a lot of others enjoy the page and get a lot out of it as well, which is really lovely.
Yeah, it's so good. And, you know, what you've done is turned a negative into a positive. And it's quite often when we look back, isn't it? And you think, oh, this, or when you're in it, you think, oh, this is awful. You know, I remember thinking, I think I'm dying of a horrible disease, and I can't wait for that to happen because this is just so awful, you know. And then you look back and you think, goodness me, like if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing
so
now.
True.
It's so true. And I think it's the most human thing that we have is to go through an experience and want to help others. And that's what you've done. You know, you've turned your experience with Hashimoto's into a source of inspiration and motivation for other people.
Thank you.
Which is so cool. Now, you're a nutrition consultant. You have the information. You've lived the journey yourself. You know how to, you know, navigate menus when you go out to restaurants. You know how to feed a family of four. You know how to, like, sort through stuff in the supermarket. Know how to stock your pantry and your freezer. So if people are going through a similar experience and they could do with a little bit of support and some hand-holding and some consultation from you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you, Alicia, to get that from you?
Absolutely. Through my Instagram page, Breathe, Believe, Nourish, Grow, which is actually under my name at the minute, which is _AliciaCrowe_. That would be the best place to go, is just to reach out, send me a message, touch base, and then we can go from there, see what it is that you would love me to help you with. And it can, like you said, it can be from a simple, even understanding, you know, a package or a box, or I've had friends message and say, okay, I don't know if I want to know the answer to this, but what do you think of these? And it's something that they've bought at a supermarket, and it's like, do you want my honest opinion or my really honest opinion? So even just simple things like that, I love helping people. It doesn't, and I'm not one to force it upon anybody else. We're all different. We've got different goals, but I love how I feel and my family feels about it all. I've had one of my brothers actually reach out, and bit by bit as I went through the journey, he's like, what do you think of this? I'm swapping this to this, or, you know, this ingredient to that. And I just happy dance. It just warms me up that I'm not making them do it. They're seeing what I'm doing and how I'm feeling and my family, and wanting to apply that to their own life. And then what makes me happy dance even more is when they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, we've done this. We feel amazing. Like, I'm not having that in our recipes or fridge or whatever it is again. So I love helping people like that. That's, I think, to have someone there to help. And experience is everything, isn't it? Like, to having been there and lived it and felt it, I hope that that helps people see that I'm not just talking the talk. I've actually walked it and felt it and breathed it and lived it. So I get it. I totally get it. And yeah, to help people, I don't know, it lights me up just to be there and inspire and help people is something that I've always loved doing when I look back on, but to tap in and do it in this way, in this capacity, is, it's pretty special.
Yeah, amazing. Now, Alicia, you said that you love quotes. So would you like to leave us with one of your quotes to wrap up?
I would. I have one. Can I share two? Is that okay? I had a quote at the very, very beginning that I look back on now and I absolutely love it. It's by Robert M. Drake. I don't know, you may or may not have heard of it before. And it's, in the end, she became more than what she expected. She became the journey. And like all journeys, she did not end. She just simply changed directions and kept on going. And I think that's gives me goosebumps, because it's not a stop start. It's just a, you know, left and right and backwards and forwards, and you go with it. It just flows. So I think I love that at the beginning of my journey, and I still love it just as much now. I think it can apply to everybody at every part of their life and where they are. So, and being greedy, that other little one was one I flipped this morning for my daily little quote, and it's, motivation comes from working on things we care about. And I absolutely love that one.
Yes. And then it becomes, I think motivation is like an external thing, you know, it's like a kind of external force, you know, like Mr. Motivator, someone's got to like kick your ass to do things. Whereas inspiration like comes from, you know, I would say that was more of an inspiration. Comes from within. It's like, I'm so inspired. I'm so compelled to reach out and help
absolutely
other people like you have. Yeah. And, you know, Hashi, I was reading something the other day. I'm not very good for keeping numbers in my head, but reading something the other day that not very long ago, Hashimoto's was so rare, the doctors didn't even test for it. It was like 2% of the population. And now Hashimoto's, the number of cases has exploded, which is really down to changes in what we're eating and how we're living our lives. And that's so exciting for people to know that it doesn't just have to be a journey of medication. It can be reversed through real food and lifestyle changes, just as you've done. And how nice that such a wonderful, warm-hearted person like you is out there that can offer this support to people. So thank you so much, Alicia, for being such an awesome guest on the show today. You're amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had so much fun.
So good. Now we're going to do a giveaway with this podcast, which will be on the Primal Alternative and Alicia Crowe Instagram page for the next week. And Alicia was trying to think, what will I come up with that would be a good giveaway? And I'm just going to put it out there and say that it should be a one-on-one consultation with Alicia.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Are you happy to do that?
Sounds amazing. And more than happy.
And some Primal Alternative goodies. Now, I know you're a big fan of Primal Alternative, which is how we kind of met.
Huge fan. It was the connection.
And you've so nicely shared about Primal Alternative so much on your page, which is brilliant.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that because that's how all this works, right? Collaborating, sharing, you know, genuine.
Yeah.
Genuine shares, right? Love it, love it. So what
Absolutely.
Are your favorite products in it? We'll make sure that we can include those in the giveaway.
Oh my gosh, where do I begin? Your fruit toast is an absolute hit. I absolutely love that. And the biscuits, I remember driving home when we'd pick up our order locally and they'd all be gone before we got home. The chocolate biscuits were just amazing.
So the choc chip
cookies. So choc chip cookies, love the choc chip cookies. So, and what I used to love about your bread was I could pick it up in the loaf. I came home, I could cut it up into the perfectly 10 slices and freeze it and then just pull it out whenever I needed it. And it just used to last just beautifully. So whether it was a savory type toast that I'd have for breakfast or the fruit toast with the cuppa as a little beautiful afternoon treat. So, so good. So
I was just thinking, because I'm earlier here in WA and I've got lunch after this and I've been thinking, what shall I have for lunch? And now that's it. I'm going to have some Primal Alternative toast with sardines on.
I am jealous. Enjoy.
I will. There was one last thing that I was going to ask you. No, I think that's it. The best place to find you is on Instagram _AliciaCrowe with an E _, and that will be in the show notes as well. So we'll get some fruit toast and choc chip cookies off to you as well for being such an awesome guest. Thank you so much, Alicia.
Thank you. Thank you so much again, Helen.
If you want to learn how to create and sell nutritious, honest food, help more people, be part of a supportive community, and start your own home business that's in alignment with your highest values, then the Primalista license is for you. Head over to primalalternative.com to find out how this works.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.